city's not going to accept the permit fee waiver, I'm sorry, but you guys are going to be staring at an empty lot for the next 50 years.
This is the part nobody really puts on air, these details. After the fire, we thought the hardest part was over. It wasn't.
It's stressful, not it's eating away at me.
The second disaster didn't come with flames. It came with emails, portals, policies, words we didn't understand. This is my younger brother, Shant.
For just by Googling, it looks like we're allowed, but I don't know. Google's one thing, what they have reported with the city is something else.
He calls me a lot. Every time there's another metaphorical fire to put out.
Okay.
250 square foot addition, which means we will qualify for the permit fee waiver. We will qualify as a like for like rebuild.
He's the one dealing with the nitty gritty, the paperwork, the loopholes, the pressure, and I keep him grounded. He keeps the rebuild moving. And this is what it sounds like.
So I was like, you know, if the city's not going to work with us.
Hold on. He said the city is not going to give us a permit fee waiver.
Yes.
So then what does that mean? They're not going to approve our plans?
They're going to approve our permits, but our house is going to be not a fire rebuild. It's going to be new construction.
So it's going to cost us more?
It's going to cost about $80,000 to $90,000 more. And I don't even know what that means for property tax.
A fire rebuild and a new build look identical on paper, but financially, they're worlds apart. And this is where my brother took over.
So with that one little switch, then you'd be able to get the fee waiver.
Exactly.
Or one of the fires he had to put out.
What's been the most difficult part of rebuilding, the paperwork, the ups, the downs, the dealing with the city? Because City of Pasadena has its own rules. Altadena follows LA County rules. Palisades is City of LA. So Pasadena's tricky. We've never built a house before. We're helping mom rebuild. It's been mostly you taking charge of everything, which I'm so grateful for. What's been the hardest part, would you say?
Well, the hardest part has been the lack of information since January when the fires happened. And with the architect we're working with, bless his soul, he's been extremely helpful. What I've learned is that the city of Pasadena does not have a set guideline to deal with this kind of disaster. So what they have is what's already recorded in their system with laws and regulations they have. So there is no set plan that says, oh, we're submitting a house to rebuild due to the fires from January 7th. So when they submit it into their system, they're just putting the information that they've gathered and, you know, rules and regulations they have, it's interpreted as such. So if your house burned down and you're submitting plans to build a new house, it's not being recorded as this person's building because their house was destroyed due to the fire. It's just recorded as this is the house this person is building, and therefore, this is what it's going to cost. You know, our next-door neighbor submitted their plans, and they got hit with an estimated permit fees of around somewhere around $80,000. Well, this is after we've been told that the permit fees are going to be waived and reduced from, you know, what a new construction is down to a total of maybe somewhere between $1,000 to $5,000.
So one of the things you've been fighting for is to get this permit fee waived that costs tens of thousands of dollars. And the city told you that it's a new build, not a fire rebuild. And you've been fighting for that to get that fee waived.
Early on in the year, the city of Pasadena had assigned a set amount of city planners to about 10 to 15 houses. So each city planner is assigned somewhere between 10 to 15 houses. Well, when I spoke to our city planner and I showed them our preliminary plans of our floor plan of, you know, this is the house we want to build, are we going to be allowed? And we were told yes. Once we got to the point that we were ready to submit our plans, that city planner no longer worked with the city of Pasadena. We didn't have this conversation in writing. This was a phone conversation we had. So when I was explaining this to our new city planner, the first thing he asked is, well, do you have that in writing? Because he goes, I just started a week ago. I was like, great.
Here we go again, starting from the beginning.
Here we go again. I said, what luck with our timing. So now we're back to square one and we're scrambling around thinking, oh, you know, it took us 8 months to finalize these plans.
It took us 8 months just to get to this point. And every time my brother thought he had an answer, the rules changed or something new stepped in. And suddenly, we were back to square one. So he started doing what this whole process requires, drafting question after question for the city, clarifying square footage, confirming permits, trying to make sure our rebuild would qualify as a fire rebuild, not new construction, because that difference meant tens of thousands of dollars. This is what rebuilding actually sounds like.
Folks with the city of Pasadena, I have a few questions to ask. First question is, what is the actual recorded permitted square footage of the previous house with all the permitted additions included? When we spoke over the phone, you told me it was somewhere around 1450 with the recorded permits. This would mean that we are allowed to build a home that is 1650 square feet.
This is what rebuilding sounds like.
In order to qualify for like-for-like and to qualify for the permit fee waivers, correct? Can you confirm the numbers?
Not hammers. Second questions. Lots of them.
Now we're back to square one and we're scrambling around thinking, oh, you know, it took us 8 months to finalize these plans. You know, we paid a bunch of money to an architect, the structural engineer that was doing the structural calculations for the house. You know, he had a family emergency, and the structural engineer, I got the news from our architect. You know, I believe we were the last house that he did the calculations for before he took a little leave to, you know, go set up arrangements for, you know, everything that follows that path of life. So it's not like we're going to go back and redesign our house and spend another 6-7 months doing a new house, changing the square footage, finding a new structural engineer, spending another month or two waiting for the structural engineering calculations to come in. You know, we're...
So all those details are why, and Mom doesn't understand this, and a lot of people don't understand why we've gotten to a year and we haven't broken ground yet. You just listed everything you've been doing for a year.
I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
So this is the part that's hardest to explain. When people ask why we haven't started rebuilding yet, this is the part they don't see. It's not indecision, it's not lack of effort. It's months of learning rules you didn't know existed. Fighting for answers that keep changing and realizing that rebuilding isn't just about money or plans. It's about navigating a system that wasn't built for this kind of loss. And this is where we're still living, in the waiting and in the limbo.
Yeah, and let's get started. Like, we can't keep shelling out money for rent.
I know. That's why I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. But the thing is, I've never built a house before. No? Why do you think this other lady, when I went to her house, this is what she's doing?
She knows all the rules in Pasadena.
She knows all the rules and the loopholes. When I walked in, I'm like, what is being built over here?
And that waiting period, that's limbo. You accept it because you have to.
What else?
The city should be giving us this advice so we can build quickly.
Well, these are all gray areas. This is like, well, if you know, then you know. But these are the rules. It's not their job to tell you how to do it and how to maximize your space and how to save the maximum amount of money. Yeah. Their job is to show up to work, look at what's being submitted, and then file it accordingly. It's my job to figure these things out, and I'm doing my best at it.
I keep saying I'm proud of my little brother, but the words feel really small. Because what he's doing is carrying certainty for all of us, especially for Mom. She said she couldn't do this without us. And it makes me understand those people who chose not to rebuild.
The night of the fire, on my way to the house, when I was leaving work, I was even in a car accident that day. I left my car in the middle of the road, and you picked me up. Because you were covering the fires in the Palisades and you were assigned to go work in Altadena. And I called you and said, where are you? You're like, I'm on my way to Altadena. I'm like, where are you? I'm passing downtown. Exit now. Pick me up.
We didn't even have time to think about your accident.
My car's totaled. I need a ride home. We got to get our dog out of the house. So the morning of the fire, after we left our friend's house where we spent the night, I went to the house, looked at it. Realized that there isn't a single piece of anything that survived. There was nothing. Nothing. Not even a trinket. Nothing. So Yeah, I didn't process anything that day. I didn't make any phone calls that day. I didn't start dealing with insurance that day. I had to take an Uber to where my car accident was and go stand there and pull the parking ticket off my car and call a tow truck to get it out of the middle of the road. And then I had to go to work and call my clients and let them know.
I'm glad you can laugh about this now, bro, but this is heavy stuff. That was a heavy, it was like when it rains, it pours. Yeah. That's what happened that day.
Yeah, I had to go to work and call my clients and let them know, like, hey guys, this is my new situation now. Like, I know I have a bunch of jobs from you and I'll finish what I have on hand, but I think you guys are going to have to stop giving me some work for a couple weeks because, you know,
I think I'm going to have a lot of work to do.
I think I'm going to be pretty busy for the next couple months.
Here we are, still busy a year in.
Yeah, what was it? It was the following day. We all got together and we slept at our aunt's house on the floor and on the couch. And then there was the day after that where we said, okay, this is not sustainable. We need beds. So I think it was you that booked an Airbnb in downtown so I could be close to work at least. And that's when we started processing things. That's when, you know, we got together as a family and we said, okay, what's next? All right, we need to fill up a refrigerator. All right, that's fine. We'll do that. You know, we need toiletries. We'll get those. All right, what's next? All right, we need to call insurance. Are we even covered? Do we even have insurance for this? We didn't know any of these things. I think that's when I started freaking out because I was reading an insurance policy that's 56 pages long with the most confusing vocabulary on there. I think I read that we are and we aren't covered in our policy maybe 20 times.
I'm so freaking proud of you, though, because you said, and I didn't even know this, but they had dropped us a year ago. And you fought tooth and nail to get our insurance back. Not as great of coverage, but you got it back. We would have been left on the streets if you didn't. Like, I keep saying I'm so proud of my little brother. I can't believe how hard he fought. You didn't even notice it, right?
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, right around a week or two after New Year's. We got a letter saying something. I mean, I've never dealt with these things before. I just figured, you know, I spoke to one of my father's old colleagues because, you know, since his passing, he's, you know, any time I've had any questions about things like this, he's, you know, he's always helpful. And you know, I called him and let him know, hey, we got a weird letter like this from insurance. And his first thing was, I would not ignore this. I would definitely call them and figure out what's going on.
How emotionally exhausting is the, quote, figuring out battle?
You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say because I think I'm still in such survival mode and adrenaline mode where every day, you know, it's wake up and go to battle. It's wake up, put your boots on, get in the trenches, roll up your sleeves and get things done. So, yeah, I haven't felt much emotion yet. I think we'll have a sigh of relief once things actually start happening, like breaking ground. And then it's the way it seems it's been going is that everything comes and goes in waves. So there is like a month or two of like fear and anxiety and the unknown of, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And then, you know, you get a little bit of bad news or good news. And then it's the waiting game again. So that waiting period is where you feel a little calm, you understand, okay, this is the reality of our situation, you accept it. And then once that waiting period ends and things start moving again, such as, you know, where we're at right now, our permit plans are submitted, it's in review with the city. So now we're in this waiting period again. We're going to wait for them to get back to us with whatever corrections they have. Hopefully they're easy ones. We don't know what it is. So now we're back into the unknown. It's the waiting game again. And then whatever response we get, well, we'll take those answers and, you know, we'll roll with it. And we'll do what we need to do next.
We were one of the first properties cleared in our neighborhood from the Army Corps of Engineers. Paperwork done and still no ground broken. Permits submitted, just waiting. When the fire burns everything down, you learn what holds a family up. Next time, I want to talk about why this house matters so much, not just to us, but to the man who dreamt it into existence. Because this story does not start with a fire. It starts with my dad. Rising from the Ashes is produced by KNX News and Odyssey Podcasts. It is written and narrated by Natalie Tavidian. Special thanks to Lloyd Lockridge, Zach Clark, Jonathan Service, Sam Benson-Smith, Cody Black, Daniela DeRobio, Solana Espino, Jerry Reynoso, and the entire KNX News team. For more content from KNX News, go to knxnews.com and follow KNX News on Instagram and TikTok.